serving at Duke for a while, but we've been able to walk together for over 2 decades now as well.
Yes.
And it's been a privilege and an honor. Not just a fantastic minister, husband, father, but a friend. And so if you'll open your hearts to the word of the Lord this morning.
Thank you, Pastor Blake. Appreciate that. I know he put UNC and Duke into one sentence, which in light of last night, you know, that just seems like a conundrum, but somehow I worked that out, you know. UNC grad, but worked for 13 and a half years at Duke as a campus missionary. So I have love for both, just a little bit more for UNC when Duke is playing UNC. So anyway, it is really a privilege to be here with all of you, and you are a great church, and I want to say that to you. Many people, a lot of times in America, we think of ourselves as individuals, and we're kind of like, well, I'm just kind of maybe loosely connected to the church. I'm doing a little bit here and there. Don't know if I'm doing enough. And the reality of it is that this church could not be who it is without you. And it's a part of it. And without the leadership of Pastor Blake and Michelle and all of the elders and the team. And so together, you guys are making an impact on the campus, and you're making an impact in the community with the Life Centers. You're making an impact in the world, Guatemala, and now we're headed to Belize, and it's going to be great. I'll be on that trip as well, and I'm believing for God to do great things. So, so grateful to be partnering with you again, even on the world mission stage. It's just going to be awesome what the Lord will do. So, I want to come and bring some prophetic encouragement to you this morning. I really believe that there's an abundance of grace that's available in this particular hour from the Lord, and it all has to do with the breath of God. You know, it's interesting, but in the 1900s, things looked very bleak. There was, in that particular atmosphere, there was a rise of witchcraft and spiritism. There was a rise of all of these cults and movements that started to spring up, including the Mormonism and Jehovah's Witness, and also there were Seventh-day Adventists. There was a lot of pain. There was a lot of political polarization. There was a tremendous amount of ethnic tensions that were happening in our country around the 1900s. I mean, people just thought, man, our country is just headed, you know, towards disaster. It's headed towards this place of no return, that we're just going to diminish. And what's interesting, at that particular moment, there was a band of people. They were called the Azusa Street Mission. And the Azusa Street Mission, they were in this poor, rundown warehouse that literally used to be used. This is where they met for church. So if you ever complain about this sanctuary, just know that there's been a lot worse that you could be a part of. And they used it, they used to use it for animals, storing animals and cattle. And so it was stinky, it was smelly, there were flies going all over the place and in this particular place. And it was run down, and you would think that nothing good could actually come out of it. And those people that were gathered together in the Azusa Street Mission were asking some questions. Can we ever see change happen in our world? Can we ever see anything take place where God's missions advance, where his power comes? And that was the question they were asking. And I believe that a similar question that Ezekiel was asking in Ezekiel 37, when he was exiled with the rest of the Israelites because they had been disobedient to God. They had run after other idols. They had done things that were just defaming God and were profane. And so God allowed the Babylonians to come in and take them over and to exile them out. And he's in Babylon. And as he's getting this particular vision from the Lord about what will take place. And in this vision, he sees a valley. And it's a valley of dry bones. It's of dead people just all over the place in this particular valley. And God asks him a question. He says, can these bones live. And I want to highlight to you God's response, or once he asked Ezekiel this question, he says, I don't know. And God says this right here in Ezekiel 37:5. He says, this is what the sovereign, I love that, the ruling Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. The title of this message is God is Breathing. And when God breathes, everything changes. When he breathes, everything changes. Let's take a moment to pray. Lord, we thank you for speaking to us. We thank you for the subtle breath that we felt during worship. Lord, we ask that you breathe upon us today, that you open our hearts up and our minds to understand what you're doing in this particular hour, in our nation, in our city, and in our own lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Ezekiel felt like what many of us may be feeling. When he was looking at what was before him, he was looking at the idea that maybe the Israelites and him and his people, his family, his friends will never get a chance to get back to this place of comfort, this place of familiarity where they got a chance to celebrate and worship the Lord and a greater level of peace. He just doesn't understand, like, God, where are you taking us? What's happening at this moment? And so he felt that this was so far away from happening, something like this. And then he sees this vision of this valley of dry bones. And let me just tell you, it is not a great vacation destination. Going to a valley, I mean, first of all, you got to understand, it's a valley. In the Bible, that's not always the great place. It's a low place. Then it's not just a valley, it's a valley with dry bones. And so it is dead. It's destitute. It doesn't look like anything is going to happen at this particular place. But here's what I want to share with you today, is that is the exact place where God wanted to come, show up, and breathe so that life could come again. You may be saying, I feel like I'm in a barren place. I feel like America's in a barren place. Maybe you felt like, man, the cities have become too hard to reach. Lives have become so broken that they're beyond repair. Maybe you've been thinking that there's no way that we can see a move of God in this particular time. And here's what I want to encourage you with today, that it's in the barren places, it's in the difficult places, it's in the dry places that God wants to breathe life. That's exactly what he wants to do. I spoke about Azusa Street. It's interesting, but in that particular situation, God breathed his life. When they thought nothing could happen, would God, anything ever change? All of the difficulties that were taking place. History tells us that the Spirit of God fell. And when the Spirit of God fell at that particular time, it sparked a revival. And that revival was incredible. The church never grew beyond 400 people. But many people would come in from all over the world and all over the place. And within the first year of that revival in 1906, 40 different nations were reached with the gospel. 40. And you had literally such an impact. Denominations were spinning off and being birthed. And today, we can tie 800 million Christians back to that revival. When it seemed dead, when it seemed dry, God breathed his breath. And see, this is what you see here in Ezekiel 37:9-10. It says this, then he said to me, Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood on their feet as a vast army. I love that. Here's the thing. When God breathes, new life comes and purpose is restored. Purpose is restored. New life comes, purpose is restored. You know, we were talking this week, Pastor Blake and I, about this. But before COVID happened, there was all of these stats and data that was coming out saying that the church was looking like it was headed to this, it was drying up and it was dying. You know, the youth were, you know, leaving the church, and, you know, and more people were professing themselves as not being spiritual but not religious. And all of these things were happening before the pandemic. And what's interesting about what God is doing in this particular hour is he's turned it around. He's turned it around. I was watching a news report. I believe we have a picture of this right here in CBS story called Baptize America. And what I love about this particular story is that they're charting the fact that there was 30,000 baptisms that took place on one Sunday in this place called Pirates Cove. Now, some of the older people in here know where Pirates Cove is. But in the 1970s, that was the same place where the Jesus movement and revival was birthed, where thousands of people literally gave their lives to Christ, got baptized. And I remember watching this report, and I had chills come over me. Because I remember that some of those exact same pictures in the exact same place were taken literally 50 years earlier when people got baptized, when revival broke out. And now it's happening at this particular time in America, once again, where God is moving by his Spirit. And let me tell you this, what they said is that there are so many young people, Generation Z, flocking into the church, and they're actually becoming faithful members, serving and giving in the church. Something took place from the time before the pandemic and now, and I want to tell you what happened is that God started breathing. He breathed on the church. And it's happening all over. It's not just America. In 1 month, they baptized 300 young men in the UK. 300 in 1 month. They're calling it the quiet revival. People just turning to the Lord. God is breathing. When he breathes, new life comes. Purpose is restored. It doesn't matter. It might be a difficult situation. It might seem like it's dead, but God breathes and changes things. You know, there's another example of this in the Gospel of John, where God also breathes and the wind of God blows. In this particular situation, the disciples, they're behind closed doors, locked up because Jesus has died. And they don't know what they're going to do with their lives. What is their future going to look like? For 3.5 years, they've been rolling with Jesus. You know, when they needed something to eat, Jesus knew what to do. Multiply bread. You know, when they had their own personal pain, Jesus would confront them and began to bring healing to them. I mean, they were walking with him, and he was counseling them the whole time. Their whole lives were wrapped around him, and now he's gone. They don't know what to do. They're stuck behind these closed doors because they not only have a fear of the future, what will happen without him, but they also have a fear of literally being persecuted and killed like Jesus was. And what's even more than that is that they don't even understand what Jesus said. Jesus told them, hey, listen, it is the Son of Man must die and then in 3 days rise from the dead. But somehow they did not get it. They did not believe it. So even when Jesus in this locked up room where they're paralyzed in fear, he goes through the wall somehow, or the door, I don't know what it was, but he appears before them, and they're freaked out. But then Jesus starts to show them, listen, this is really me. So he lets them touch him. So he has this glorified body that they can touch. And then he starts to eat food. He eats fish. And even through all of this, they still have lingering doubt and unbelief. Right. They don't understand what they're saying, what they're seeing. They're blind to it. Something's dull in their hearts. And then something powerful and amazing happens that shifts everything. And this is what the scripture tells us in John 20, 21 through 22. It says, again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And then it says this, and with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. See, here's the thing about this. In the Luke version, it tells us the same exact story, but it gives us insight into what happens when God breathes the Holy Spirit on them. It says this in Luke 24, 45. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. See, when Jesus breathed, something shifted. Something changed. And when God breathes, you get unstuck because revelation starts to come, fear starts to break, and there's a motivation that returns to you for mission. And this is what you see in this particular passage. If you feel today like, oh, I've been stuck. I've just felt like I don't know what my future is going to be like. I feel like I don't know if I can move forward in this particular way, or I feel like I just need to remain stable right at this particular place, knowing that maybe God is nudging you forward. Here's what I want to tell you right now, is that Jesus is going to walk through the whatever walls you have, and he's going to breathe life into your soul so that revelation comes, fear breaks off of you, and all of a sudden you have clarity on the mission. You're able to move forward. Praise God for that. He's going to breathe on you. God's in the business of opening minds, reviving hearts, giving us wisdom and clarity. Listen, I want to encourage you. Do not stop praying. Do not stop contending. God is going to breathe on you. There's an abundance of grace that's available in this hour for you in your life and for us as a people of God. I'll never forget this meeting, this young lady named Char. When I met her, it wasn't under the best of circumstances for her. She actually felt stuck, much like the disciples. And in her life, she was feeling down, depressed, and even suicidal. In fact, the way we met is she reached out to our church, wasn't a member of our church, never had stepped foot in it, and basically asked a question to us saying, would it be okay if I just took my life? Would I be okay with God if I commit suicide? One of our pastors responded to her and said, please, let's talk. Don't do anything yet. Just can we talk? And she began to counsel her and share things with her. And she actually, in that process, led her to Christ. And she became a Christian. Literally in that same week, she came to one of our prayer and fasting meetings in January. So this was over a year ago. And when she came to that meeting, she felt the presence of God, and she actually got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And God had breathed on her. After that, then she ended up joining our children's ministry team. Praise God for the children's ministry team. Come on. Aren't we grateful for that? She joined our children's ministry team. This has always been in her heart to do something with kids. And literally a year later, she became one of our children's ministry leaders. Can you imagine someone feeling stuck, like they want to take their lives, but then God coming in, breathing, literally giving them clarity about who they are and what they should do, breaking off the fear and the anxiety they had related to life, and then allowing them to be released into mission. Praise God. See, when God's breath comes, it changes everything. Changes everything. Just like it did in her life. One other thing about her I just remembered is that she has so much life in her. And let me just tell you, not everything's perfect. We're working with her in different areas. We're discipling her. Discipleship must happen. That's why I love the Making Disciples class and a moment that you guys are going to have. That's going to be powerful. We need to learn how to do that and participate in that. So we're still doing that. But here's one thing that happened is that she got on the phone with her sister, began to tell her sister about her life and what's taking place, and she led her sister to Christ. Imagine that with a year later, feeling like she was going to be taken out. Now she's actually giving life to other people. That's amazing. Praise God for that. See, when God breathes, you get unstuck because that revelation starts flowing, the fear breaks, and the mission returns. So you have the disciples in this room. They get free. And weeks later, they found themselves in another room. And this time, it was not because they were fearful or anxious, but it was because they were in faith. They were actually waiting for something to happen or awaiting. They're expecting God to move and do something in this particular moment. And what they were doing was they were just simply praying and waiting and awaiting and obeying. They were just doing what God had told them to do, what Jesus had told them to do. It was amazing. It was incredible. But you know what? When someone's looking at your life and you're praying and obeying and doing the same things over and over again, but you don't see anything happen, they're amazed at you. But you're not very amazed with your circumstance or situation because you want to see a change happen. You want to see something shift or something move. And my encouragement for you today is for you not to feel as though God isn't doing anything at all. I want to tell you that God has a way of, as you're doing the same things that he's commanded you to do over and over again, of breaking into your life, breathing fresh life, and causing something to take place that brings you to the next level and the next place that he wants you to be in. And we actually see this as they're waiting and awaiting him. It says this in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Nothing dramatic has happened up until this point. They're in the upper room just doing what Jesus told them to do. And here's what it says. I love the very first word, suddenly. Can somebody say suddenly? You know what? I heard someone say this. God is not quick, but he is sudden. There's a difference. Quick assumes that he's going to respond the moment you do something. But suddenly is that you've been doing what you've been doing, and then in this moment, boom, God shows up. And it says suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Do you know these were the same disciples that just received the breath of God and now they're getting filled with the Holy Spirit again? How many of you know we need to be filled and refilled with the Spirit? How many of you know we need the breath of God to hit us multiple times for different circumstances and situations? But I think we have to take a cue from these disciples. Because before Acts 2, 1 through 4, there is Acts 1:14. And here's what it says, that they all join together constantly. Everybody say constantly. Constantly. In prayer. They were constantly praying. Constantly praying. Believing and contending for God to do something. See, here's the thing. When you allow yourself to be in that place, when you've been praying and obeying, God will breathe upon you, and his power will tangibly be made real and impact your life and bring about transformation. God is in the business of answering prayers. He just doesn't always do it exactly when we want it. But there is a moment when suddenly happens. When all of a sudden your prayers get answered. When all of a sudden God then takes what you've been naturally doing and he starts to put super on it. So it becomes supernatural. When all of a sudden your presence in that person's life, where it just seemed like it's just been regular, but you've been praying, and all of a sudden he puts his power and his presence on you. Now they don't see you the same way. They don't hear what you're saying the same way. The power of God is flowing through you and impacting them. When all of a sudden, when you've been in this particular problem and situation, and you're trying to figure out how to solve for it, how do I get out of it, and then the wisdom of God comes because he breathes it into you. And now you have a solution. When all of a sudden you've been praying and contending and believing for someone to get healed, and then God prompts you to go lay your hands on them and pray for them, and the power of God shows up. When all of a sudden you've been wondering, what's going to happen with my future? What's going to take place? And one puzzle piece comes in, another puzzle piece comes in, and the final one comes in. And you can see it clearly. Don't stop obeying God, praying, and contending, because God moves in that way. I want to clarify something for you about these disciples that's very important. I went in and out of this, but I would say this. These disciples, they weren't just waiting. They were awaiting. There's a difference between waiting and the waiting. And here's what I see. Waiting is passive. Awaiting is active. You know, I appreciate the fact that we got a chance to be here last night, have dinner with the Dameron family, eat some good food, watch at the Carolina do what they did to Duke again. Sorry, bringing that up. Got a chance to catch that last little bit, but that was great. Made dinner better. But you know what I appreciate is that when we went to the hotel and I started to tell the lady who I was, she says, oh, yes, we've been awaiting you. See, here's the thing about it. Awaiting has two elements to it that are very important. Expectation and preparation. They made sure they got the room ready for us. They had waters available for us. They were waiting for us, but not just waiting, but awaiting, because there was an expectation that we would show up. And here's what I want to encourage you with. These disciples, they weren't just waiting. They were awaiting. They were expecting for God to move. They didn't know how he was going to move. They don't know when. They don't know exactly what it was going to look like, but they were expecting, and they were making preparations. They were praying, God, just like you said, fulfill your promise in our lives. Lord Jesus, we remember the words that you spoke. Will you do this? And they were sharing that with each other, stirring each other up in their faith. And so when that moment happened, I'm telling you, their preparation met God's impartation. And when that happened, it changed everything. God's breath came. We need to have expectation and preparation as we await faithfully through prayer and obeying. And when that happens, it changes everything. You know what I find interesting about these particular passages? I believe that they're all connected. And the person who connects them all is Jesus. I believe that what we see in Ezekiel 37 is fulfilled through Acts chapter 2 because of what happened in John chapter 20. And that was Jesus showing up on the scene after he had died on the cross. And the reason why he died on the cross was so that we could be forgiven of our sins and we could enter back into a relationship with him. So that we don't have to strive for ourselves, trying to literally cause our own dead bones to come back to life. We don't have the power to do that. And so Jesus died on the cross, having the power to exchange our sin for his righteousness. So that we then could have the Holy Spirit come live inside of us, the breath of God come on the inside of us. And so Jesus, he breathes in them. Now, I want you to notice something. He breathes in them, and then later on, he breathes upon them. And when he breathes upon them, that's the day that the army of the Lord came to be in the earth. That's the day that the church became the body that's actively advancing the kingdom of God, that's risen up like that vast army that was seen in Ezekiel's vision. And this army is not an army that's trying to take over through violence or through war or through hurting others, but rather building others up as we pray and as we give and as we serve, seeing the kingdom of God advance all over the planet. And that vision of Ezekiel is fulfilled because God breathed the Holy Spirit through Jesus into the church. Let me tell you, church, you are mighty. You are a vast army. God is going to use every single one of you to see his kingdom advance. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. Isn't that awesome? He's breathing on you. He's breathing on you as an individual, but he's also breathing on you together. That's why I think it's so important for us to walk together, to do life together, be a part of small group and life group together, praying together, standing together, advancing God's kingdom together. It starts as we're together and God breathes on us. I want you to see this. In every story, it wasn't just a me. It was an us. It was the bones, vast army came out of that. It was the disciples gathered together, God breathing on them. It was the 120 gathered together in the upper room that God breathed on. I want you to say this with me. Say, God is breathing on us. Let me give you some thoughts I have prophetically, I believe, for the church that are very directed to you guys. I believe that God is breathing on this church. And what I kept getting in prayer is that he's breathing specifically on your financial status. And you're going to find that as God breathes on you, that there's going to be financial opportunities open up with families, with individuals, with young adults. And he kept whispering this phrase that there'll be creative innovation and entrepreneurship. The Lord is going to breathe life on that. There's some of you have been holding ideas in place, and it's like you haven't quite gotten a chance to see them come about. And I just see the Lord just breathing life on them. And it's almost like it just comes out of nothing, so to speak. But God is going to meet some of you, and I see it so clearly. He says, do not hold back. This is the hour in which he's breathing. And financial blessing is going to come. And as he brings it, he wants you to remember that it's not just for you, but it's for his kingdom as well. That he wants to see abundance happen so that you're provided for, your family, but also beyond that. The kingdom of God advances. God's breathing in that area. The Lord also spoke to me. He said that he is breathing on some of you that just felt, you felt like these disciples stuck behind, paralyzed behind what was in the past, behind the fear of the future and what will take place. And particularly, it's locked up your sense of wanting to be a servant leader. Your calling to step into this place to actually lead and to lend yourself as someone that is an example that others can follow. And I just sense that God is stepping through the fears. He's stepping through the relational drama that you've been experiencing in your life and in your family. He's stepping beyond that, and he's saying, I'm breathing into you right now. And God, you're going to find that you have divine strength and divine energy to be able to do what God has called you to do, to step into what the Lord has ordained for you to accomplish. God is breathing into you right now. You will no longer be locked up. Whatever has created the chains are breaking. They're breaking. And you're going to walk in the power and the favor of the Lord. I believe the Lord is also breathing on the worship in this house. God spoke a scripture to me this morning. He said, I put a new song in their mouth and praise upon their lips. And I believe a new song will rise out of this. Not just one, but plenty will rise out of this place, out of this house. It's going to happen where the Spirit of God begins to breathe. And the breathing is going to happen in worship practice first, and then it's going to overflow into what happens here on Sunday mornings and on your Wednesday night worship moments. Watch and see how God begins to move powerfully, bring new songs to you that have an anointing on them to break yokes in this generation, to see the kingdom of God advance, the wind of God blow through you as you worship. And the Lord says, I haven't just called you as a congregation to be those who would be spectators in this, but listen, you're going to be participators in what God's doing. You're going to help to literally draw out the anointing and put a demand on God's presence and power in this place, and watch and see how I will move, says the Lord, with signs and wonders and miracles that will take place as you lift up your praise and worship to the Lord. The Lord says you can no longer think just about what's happening in your life, but your eyes must be raised to heaven and to see what I'm doing in this hour as I'm breathing on this church, says the Lord. Praise God. I have to mention this last one because my daughter mentioned it to me. I asked her yesterday, I said, pray with me. And I said, please, ask the Lord for a word for GCF. And she confirmed my word that I had about worship. And then she said this, and I didn't even tell her. And then she said this. She said, I believe that God is going to do something incredible with the kids' ministry. And when she said that, the Lord gave me two words. He said, first of all, there's been some particular tensions around it. There's been some things that have happened that have made it feel as though it's been a little bit not as stable. But the Lord says, I'm coming to strengthen it. And then he spoke this to me. He said these two words, electrifying and transformative. You're going to see kids encountering God. They're going to hear his voice. They're going to declare the gospel, and they're going to speak the word of the Lord to you as their parents, as their uncles, aunties, spiritual uncles and aunties in the Lord. They're going to deliver the word of the Lord to you, and I believe that. Can you give God praise for that? Come on, that's awesome. Beautiful. It's awesome. Praise God. This is what happened when God breathes. God's breathing on this church. He's breathing in this hour in our country. He's breathing on East Carolina University. He's breathing in the various parts of the town that seem as though that they are dry and dead and desolate. He's breathing on your work situation that just seems frustrating and hard. God is breathing. And when he breathes, purpose is restored. When he breathes, new life comes. When he breathes, I am telling you, fear breaks. Revelation starts flowing. People get ignited in the mission of God, and his power shows up when he breathes. I want us to take a moment to pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're breathing on GCF Church in this particular hour. I want to take a moment to pray for a few groups in here. If you're here today and you know that you're not a follower of Christ, you've never heard the good news that I shared with you. Essentially, Jesus connects all Scripture, but he is the one that can help us. We can't help ourselves. Sin has put us in a place where we are dried up and we're dead. God asked Ezekiel that question. He said, can these bones live? Ezekiel said, I don't know. But you know what God knew? He said, I know they can live. Whatever deadness is caused by sin, by living for yourself and rebellion against God, just not simply giving your life over to him, whatever dryness, whatever deadness, God has the ability to bring you to life again. And he does that as you put your trust in him. As you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you so that you could be forgiven and enter into a loving relationship with him where his breath, his spirit lives on the inside of you. This is your opportunity for this to take place. If you say, I want to live, not just be a soul existing here on this planet. I'm existing, but I don't have the life of God in me. I don't have his purpose in me. I don't have his peace, his joy, his righteousness. If you are that person today, I want to pray with you right now. Just slip up your hand. This is your opportunity. Don't wait. Don't wait. God is breathing in this hour. You don't want to miss the breath of God. I see your hand. Is there anyone else? I see yours. God's breathing right now. And when I say that, I mean even in this moment, the breath of the Holy Spirit is blowing. If you're not sure, just go ahead and pray this with me. Make sure that you know that I have literally done what the Bible said. I've confessed with my mouth and I believe in my heart that this Jesus died for me and he was raised from the dead 3 days later. I want you to pray this prayer with me right now if you are responding to this, to be saved, to be delivered out of the deadness and into the life of God. Just say, Lord Jesus, thank you for this word. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving and creating me. I confess that I've sinned, and I ask you to forgive me. Now, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins, and you rose from the dead. And you're coming back again. And I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for breathing on me now. And just take a deep breath. Say, thank you for making me a new person. Now, Holy Spirit, empower me to follow you and to do your will with other Christ followers. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to pray for one more group of people here.
As we were praying for Pastor Devon, what I sensed the Holy Spirit speak to me for you all was that he was a representation of long, dry promises being awakened. I don't know how long the prayer has been for there to be a church plant from this house, But I just sense the Lord saying that just because something is delayed does not mean it's been denied. And just because something appears dead does not mean that it is not alive. It is merely dormant. And for some of you, there are some promises maybe that have been prophesied, or maybe God spoke to you through his word, and it's been decades, and you're saying, this is a dead promise. But I believe that the Lord is not only breathing on those dry promises to you, but he's igniting and reigniting and awakening and reawakening those promises. Whether it's a promise to be married, a promise to have a baby, a promise to start a business, a promise to see fruit, whatever it is, I believe the Lord is going to visit many of you in this house where things that seemed so never ever going to happen now are going to begin to take place. So if that's you with all eyes closed, I just want you to raise your hand in faith, believing that whatever that promise is for you, that God is not only going to breathe his breath of life into that promise, but you will see the manifestation of his glory in your life. You will be a walking testimony, a walking commercial of the faithfulness and the goodness of God. Father, I thank you that you are a promise keeper. And I ask in Jesus' name that even as you have reminded me today that you will be the promise keeper for Greenville Christian Fellowship, I am asking God that in their lives as individuals, in their lives as a family, in their lives as a collective, Lord God, I'm asking that you would visit every promise that seems to be dry and dead. Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that even as you begin to go into the crevices of their history and you go into the past, Lord Jesus, I'm praying, God, that you will bring healing, you will bring restoration, whatever seems ruptured as if never to come back to life, to bring the fullness of who you are. Lord, I'm praying for repair. I'm asking, breathe your breath of hope upon every despondent, disparaging disappointment that people are walking through in this house in Jesus' name. Lord, we are asking God that you would awaken a new level of faith for that which seems so difficult to believe for. God, I'm praying for those that are believing to buy their own homes, that God, just even for them, God, the banks will open up. You would give them the right resource. I'm praying for those that are believing for scholarships, either to go to graduate school or to go to college, or maybe people have thought that they can never get that degree. They can never get that professional degree. And somehow life has begun to build veneers of impossibilities. But God, we thank you that you are the God that parted the Red Sea and people walked on dry land. You are the God that made a way where it seemed to be like there's no way. And even though it sounds cliche, it is true. So Lord, I am asking in this moment, would you breathe your breath of life upon this house in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Could you do this? Stand to your feet. We're going to do one more thing. We're going to activate our faith through speaking and declaring what Ezekiel did. So you can just repeat this after me. Say, come, breath of God, from the four winds, breathe life into the spiritually dead and dormant. Breathe into unlikely people and impossible situations. Breathe fear shattering, purpose imparting, revelation, so that we, our families, our communities, and our nation may truly live. Let's give God a praise right now. Praise God.
Amen. 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 Isn't God good? Thank you so much for being with us this morning, part of GCF Church. Just honored that you would take your morning to be with us. If you need prayer, we have some of our altar team will be down here. They'd love to pray for you. Don't forget our life groups are in the lobby. Please check those out before you leave. And we'll be here Wednesday night for worship night. You guys have an amazing day. See you next week.